The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We are back, the second half of the show. We've already been here since 3 o'clock, our third hour live. We have already talked to Kim Mulkey, who has LSU in the Final Four. She has been to 5 Final Fours previously, won 3 national championships. So an amazing resume, and to the surprise of no one, she has LSU back playing for it all this weekend in Dallas. So we have some news to update on our brackets. Most of the NCAA brackets are busted, but the Woodstock region is alive, and I-Man moves on to face Cheerleader, who has been the favorite of a lot of people here. William from Maryville dusts off John in Florida, and Handsome Joe over Booker in New Jersey. Today we are voting on the Black Hat region, and we'll update you on that. Legend is facing Mitch in the next round, and Susie, an upset winner over Jeff from Columbus, against JK. We've had both calls already. So Booker had one more thing to say. So go ahead, Booker. Booker, you there? Booker has said the last thing because he wasn't there when we went to him. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And Mike is in South Carolina. Hello, Mike. Mike, you there? We're getting a lot of, I feel like I'm home and I'm getting all these spam calls. Let's try Myth in Kentucky. Hello, Myth.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I know you're doing your bracket today. I don't know. Legend might be calling from his jail cell, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, Legend's had a rough day after declaring Alabama the national champion the other day.
Yeah, one thing's for sure, Brandon Miller didn't have anything to do with the shooting. That's for sure, because after his shot selection the other night, that's pretty evident. Hey, one question, Paul. I want to run past you. The Levis kid from Kentucky, how come he's going so high on the as a prospect into the NFL?
Well, they really like his passing ability, and right now he is the number 3 projected quarterback on the big board. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Guy is up next in Houston. Hello, Guy.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was calling about this issue of complacency with my Bulldogs.
Yes.
First of all, we know Kirby's not going to let that happen. One way you'll do it is by the competition among the various players for playing time. We have several players at every position. They're all hungry. They all have talent. And they're all wanting to fight and try to move ahead of the other guy for a few plays. The other thing is they're competing within themselves. I had the chance to tour the facility, the new facility, last year, the day before the spring game. And it was amazing the amount of information that is collected on every player throughout the day. The training staff, the coaches know how much sleep a player gets, the quality of the sleep they get, what they eat for every meal. Are they eating the right mix of things? Are they lifting weights correctly? Are they lifting enough weight or too much? Some need to lose weight. Some need to gain weight. Some need to stay exactly as they are. And they're monitored closer than I think a thoroughbred horse is the week of Kentucky Derby. It's amazing the information that's collected on every player and monitored. So I think even just competing with themselves.
Yeah, let me say, Guy, what they are doing is being done across the board. So you're right.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody's doing that now, which is really remarkable. So you do have an understanding. The one thing I would argue, though, actually in your defense, is that Kirby Smart was there 10 years ago, and saw what happened to Nick Saban's team. And Nick Saban, he lost a three-peat based on the culture of that locker room. So Kirby Smart has been able to see this up close as Saban's top assistant in terms of what went wrong with a team that was going for a third straight national championship. I think that's valuable.
Oh, absolutely. And Kirby has shown that he adapts. The best things he learned from Coach Saban, which is so much, and he's added his own touch to it. And with all the physical information they have now, that all the schools have, Kirby, as you know, follows the details. He's the most detail-oriented coach I've ever seen. And I'm sure he's not alone, but he's pretty incredible in the way he looks at details. So, yeah, I think there's no problem with complacency. Of course, the mantra now is eat off the floor. I've never heard that before. It's pretty good.
And by the way, I agree with it. The issue becomes all this talk doesn't matter because, I mean, all these guys are very good at this. He has been able to keep them honest and keep them on edge. And the competition does matter, though, because nobody has more talent than Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia. I mean, those three schools right now are deep in pretty much every position. So there's always going to be competition. But there are always reasons why things don't work out. And Jeff is up next. Hey, Jeff.
How you doing, Paul?
Jeff, we're doing great. Thank you.
Man, it was nice for you to compliment my Buckeyes. I picked up on that, Paul. That's nice of you.
Well, I just tell the truth here.
That's right. Hey, Paul, I had to call in and give props to your boy Saban. Did you hear that interview where he took shots at Jay Billis in bracketology?
I did, yes.
I mean, sounded like Saban listened to my phone calls the last couple of years about these ESPN supposedly analysts and experts, because did you hear he said that Billis comes out with all these predictions, but he has no consequences? Who's been saying that to you, Paul?
Yeah, but Jeff, let me make it one better. Who had more to do with the bracket than even Billis? And that's the committee. And, should this committee be humiliated because none of their top three picks made it to the Final Four? I mean, that's just the nature of tournament sports.
I understand that, Paul.
But you have this hang-up on wanting to draw and quarter any sports analyst who doesn't get a prediction right as if it really matters.
Well, then why I keep asking you, why do the shows? Why do they have these shows? 20 years ago, ESPN,
because people like to watch people that know more than them make educated guesses. And that's all it is. Listen, you got some of the smartest people in the world up on Wall Street. And if they were so smart, how come I'm broke based on their stock recommendations? So it's all, I mean, Jeff, you can't let go of this cross to bear about predictions that go wrong. I would bet that they know more than you do about everything that they talk about.
Hey, you just made the biggest blunder ever, Paul, saying they know more than we do.
I didn't say we do. I said they probably know more than you do.
No, that's the point. They don't.
Oh, okay.
And you don't like me calling them out. Because,
well, you know, I don't care what network you're talking about, but I do know that people at that level do know about the sports that they cover.
Okay, then they should just talk about the X's and O's and stuff. You keep missing my point. Why do they make predictions when they're lousy at it?
Why don't you call some guy in Vegas who put the line on the games that turned out to be wrong? I mean, Jeff, this is as they say in South Georgia, this dog's just not hunting, okay?
Well, why don't they just come out and break them down like they used to?
Because I am not going to engage with a broken record, but you're a broken record.
Well, hey, do what you want to do, but I just thought it was hilarious. Your boy Saban came right in and verbatim said the same thing, and you don't, and you want to stick up because you must feel uncomfortable when you go to the lunchroom or something. I don't know, but just admit that these shows are ridiculous. They're a waste of time.
Well, Jeff, you know what? It's a free enterprise system. Nobody is making you, I don't think. Does anybody have a gun at your head and making you watch Jay Billis's predictions?
I don't. That's my point. Who watches them? That's my point.
Well, I would say 500,000, 1 million people given the time of day, and maybe 15 or 20 million when it comes to the actual game. I don't know.
I mean, back when ESPN was great, they never had these bracketology shows. You just get the brackets, fill them out, do your own thing. But they all come on like they're going to fill the brackets in for you, and this is just proved again, it's a big waste of time. And your boy Saban said the exact same thing. And the best thing is they're never held accountable.
Yeah, the difference was that, when you talk about being held accountable, I think everybody's held accountable because everybody's been busted. But most people that are professionals, if they get something wrong, they laugh about it. They don't go to a gulag in Siberia because they picked the Final Four wrong.
I don't know, Paul, but you just ought to give me some props now and then and just say me and Saban are on the same page. That's all I can say, Paul.
You ever had one of those splitting headaches because of one person? We'll take a short break. We're coming right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. We've all tried to recover from the Jeff call. Let's continue with more phone calls. Talk to Mike in South Carolina. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. What's going on, brother?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I just wanted to talk about what Carolina's done to Clemson in sports in the past 5 or 6 months.
Okay.
Beat them in tennis, cross country, women's basketball, took the baseball series, and the NCAA tournament pretty much kept them out of that. That was, the first four out, and, it was a pretty bad team. If they wouldn't have lost to us, they might have got in. And, of course, football, keep them out of the playoff, that was a nice one, too. So the past 5 or 6 months has been a little good run. But they did beat us in volleyball, so there you go.
Yeah, I really do believe, Mike, the football game is going to trump the volleyball match.
I hope so.
Hey, thank you for the call. Keep scoring everything, don't we? Chip is up next. Hey, Chip.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how you doing today, sir?
Chip, we are doing well. Thank you.
I just, before I make a comment about Coach Mulkey, I want to let you know that my heart is out to the people in Mississippi and those in Memphis as well, Mr. Paul, as I'm sure yours is.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for saying that.
I enjoyed your interview with Coach Mulkey, and I'm going to tell you what I like about her. A lot of coaches, when their team is just winning and winning big and doing what they need to do, they steamroll over everybody and it's all good. Coach Smokey will be the first to tell you that her team didn't play a good game the other night but she still found a way to win. And I just want to let you know this. You know, that's what I think a good coach is, one that can take a team that's not playing very well and still win. And she seems to fit the bill on that. Mr. Paul, your comments?
Yeah, I really like her. I mean, she's hard-nosed, but you can tell what it's all about with her. And I think that comes across in the admiration that we heard in one of the press conferences from her top players. Hey, thank you very much for the phone call. Trey is in Arkansas. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul. I was the one who called in and said the Razorbacks were going to take UConn to the woodshed. I'm here to eat crow and congratulate UConn, and also ask if I was in the color bracket. I seen that it said Trey, but I didn't know if that was from Trey from Tuscaloosa or me. And also,
Yeah, Trey. Man, by the way,
I think that was
a Trey from Tuscaloosa. And next year, I suspect you'll be in that bracket. Thank you, Trey. Appreciate the call. Chaplain Mack joins us. Good afternoon, Chaplain.
Hey, Brother Paul. How you doing?
We are well. Thank you.
Good, good. I just called to ask a question. Do you think Auburn University football's got a chance to win 8 games this year? And you're professional opinion?
I do. I think it would be a challenge, but we'll show the schedule in a minute, and I'll give you an explanation on how, because
that's cool.
I just think there's a new spirit down there, and you know, need new players, obviously, more players, obviously, but here's how you get to 8. Let me give you the easiest ones first. UMass, Cal, Samford, and New Mexico State. That's 4. So where do the next 4 come from? I don't see much on the front side. So Ole Miss, Mississippi State, are those winnable games? Yeah, I think so. That's 6.
I hope so.
Vanderbilt, 7.
Okay.
Can you get me an 8th? I'm struggling right now.
Well, I don't know, sir.
I just figured it out, Mac. You're a man of faith, and what do you do when you have faith? You find a way.
You call things not as though they are.
Yeah, I am going to give you the 8th win, as I promised you, in the bowl game.
Yes, sir. Are you kidding me? That's good. So you think they're going to be bowl eligible next year? That's
I think bowl eligibility is absolute. I think they can win 8. So I think 7 looks realistic in the regular season, and
right.
You know, you steal one in the bowl game. That's 8. That's a great year.
I think that would be like turning a corner for us. That would be quite nice.
As you and I know, Mac, there have been Auburn coaches fired for winning 8 games. Hugh Freeze will get
a
parade.
Yeah, I would give him a personal parade, yes, sir. You know, when you've been beat down for a while.
No, I think it's realistic. Now, the one thing, I'm giving you the Cal win, but I don't think Cal is going to beat Auburn. So here's the fortunate thing. The the crossover game's Vanderbilt. That's a big deal. Now, by the way, Vanderbilt is not an automatic win in Nashville, but I feel like by then – because Vanderbilt has gotten a lot better, but I'm going to keep the faith with you.
Right. Well, I know this: if we can get our quarterback on the page, and he's supposed to be good at coaching up quarterbacks, we might have some success this year. And I'm excited about it. You know, they say hunger makes a good sauce, and I'm hungry to have a good season at Auburn. I really am.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Donnie is in Arkansas. Hey, Donnie.
Hey, Paul. Hey, I have some questions for you. So how, as Arkansas, you know, this year we got hit with the transfer portal really hard in football. How, as Arkansas with Sam Pittman, how are we eligible and keep more players at the University of Arkansas to keep playing? Like, we lost Trey Knox to South Carolina. We lost Catalonia to Texas. And then also question number two.
Don't forget, you also picked up one pretty key player from Alabama.
Yes. Yes, true. Who's our QB1 this year? Do we stick with KJ Jefferson, or do we get the transfer from North Carolina?
Well, I mean, right now I think KJ is the quarterback. The portal is an interesting place, but I would stick with KJ for the time being. Let's take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Did you hear about the situation with TikTok the other day? It could prove to be a problem for intercollegiate athletics. A lot of people want to do away with it, but Michael McCann will tell us the issue coming up next.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Michael McCann joining us here, and this is a story that really is fascinating that Michael wrote about in Sportico. A TikTok ban would hinder NIL, hurt athletes, and spur lawsuits. By now, you've seen a number of athletes, including an LSU star who has really made a lot of money and with millions of followers on TikTok. The other day, Congress gave the TikTok CEO a browbeating for a number of hours, and many people are wondering what the future is going to be. Michael, thank you very much. Complicated issue for sure, controversial to say the least. So thank you for being here. And tell us what all this means to college athletics.
Athletics, especially the athletes that are making money on TikTok, they should be following this pretty closely. A number of them are able to turn videos on TikTok into promotional opportunities. Now, that's not to say they couldn't do that through other apps. It's not as if TikTok is the only one like it, but it's really popular and it appears to be really user-friendly that appeals to a lot of college athletes. So if it's banned, if that happens, and how that happens would be crucial, there could be legal challenges. We know that when the federal government tried to ban TikTok a few years ago, it failed. The court said, well, you talk about these national security concerns, these privacy concerns, but they appear to be more hypothetical than actual. There's also questions about the process in which a ban happens, whether or not it was deliberate enough. So we'll see what happens this time. It's an interesting issue where both Republicans and Democrats are clearly worried about TikTok because it's owned by a Chinese company. And obviously there are questions about access by the Chinese Communist Party. But the next step is, will they actually move forward to ban it? And what would happen after that? Most likely litigation.
And Michael, I realize a lot of people watching and listening understand the issues, but, and not to turn you into a civics teacher, but what is the big problem before we even get back to the athletics involvement here? What's going on between the government and TikTok?
Yeah, the big worry, Paul, is that because TikTok is owned by a Chinese company, the worry is that the data that they collect on users, including Americans, including others, could be shared with the Chinese Communist Party and used in ways that are detrimental to us or detrimental to our national security, detrimental to the individuals whose privacy is being invaded. Now, the counter argument that TikTok has made is that they're not doing that. They're not sharing information with the Chinese Communist Party. Of course, I think we have to be skeptical. We know that there are real concerns about Chinese surveillance of our country. We saw the balloon not recently, and there are other things that we should be worried about. Then, of course, then the question is, well, if they get this data, is it that valuable? Is it really that interesting? Does it have national security implications, or is it more just consumer stuff? I guess that can be debated. But the worry is that because it's a Chinese company and because the Chinese government has such control over its companies, that our American information could be shared with a country with whom we obviously have a complex, to put it charitably, relationship.
Michael, you alluded to it a minute ago with the videos. And again, you know, there are a lot of people that understand Twitter and Facebook and all these other platforms. But what is the attraction for, especially young people, and we're talking about college athletes, high school athletes, what is the attraction to TikTok for them?
Really, Paul, is the video component of it, that they're short, brief videos where they can get paid to do them in a way that's also, I think, kind of in line with younger people. You know, you and me, we obviously we're from, we're not their generation. And for us, social media apps, we prioritize them differently in terms of the ones that we use. TikTok has done really well with young people. The way it's structured, it's hip, to use a word. It just sort of speaks to younger people in a way that other apps don't. And it's easy to use and it's easy to monetize. So I think all of that together. And then also I think there's the popularity thing. If somebody has a lot of followers on it, if your teammate has that, you want to join them. And that, of course, has an effect too.
And you mentioned in your piece, I mean, there's some athletes who are cleaning up on TikTok. Explain.
Yeah, Olivia Dunn is one. There are others that have numerous followers. And we know from actually previous litigation against the ban that was tried a few years ago, there was one influencer, not an athlete, but somebody who was in the fashion industry that was getting paid $5,000 to $10,000 per video, according to court documents. So if somebody's pumping out a lot of these videos, it can be an easy way to make a lot of money quickly. And for college athletes, of course, we know that their chance to make money on their fame might be limited to while they're in college. There may not be the pros later on for many of them. So this is their way to capitalize. And again, if TikTok goes away tomorrow, they could migrate to some other app, but there are transition costs in terms of going to another app. They may not have the instant following. They may not be able to monetize it as quickly. And given that college athletes' fame might be pretty brief in their life, that transition could be costly.
You have another piece out, I think it was today, involving, I saw the key word here, antitrust. These things may look small to the visitor watching from home or listening on the car radio, but they can become big deals. Tell us what's going on with volunteer coaches claiming price fixing.
Yeah, so this is the second lawsuit of its kind in recent months. Previously, there were a couple baseball coaches, and now we have track and field and wrestling. And the gist of the argument, Paul, is that these coaches took volunteer positions at colleges, Division I schools, and they argue they should have been paid, that the NCAA had and still has until this summer a cap on number of coaches on a team. And their argument is that if a school brings them on as a volunteer and they effectively function as an employee, it's not helping out here and there. It's not like, you know, little league coach, church league coach that I think when I think of a volunteer coach, that's what I think of. This is somebody who's really functioning as a full-time employee, but isn't being paid. They're saying, well, if schools could decide to pay them instead of having a cap, they would have got paid. So they're arguing they should have been paid all along. Now, the counter argument may be, we don't know if they would have been paid. Maybe the school wouldn't have hired them. Maybe they wouldn't have got the volunteer opportunity at all. So there are counter arguments.
Great stuff, as always, from our friend Michael McCann. Many thanks, Michael. Thank you for joining us. Always fascinating subjects, these two in particular. We'll take a short break here. More of your phone calls right after this.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Billy is up next in Philly. Hey, Billy.
Hi, Paul. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm calling about a controversial and complicated issue, which is TikTok.
Right.
My background is a little maybe distorted or different than most people's, but I think I've seen this act before. Mr. Chow is an extremely dignified, highly intelligent, very sympathetic character. His company has done nothing wrong. My biases are that, I'm very suspicious when the politicians decide to be moral. When I say I've seen this before, I was alive in the 60s when a man named Tanaka from Japan had to testify to Congress about why extra duty should not be placed on Japanese electronics. Admiral and Philco and Motorola were bitching that you can't have these guys here. And he explained that we're not illegal, we're not dangerous people. We simply have a better product. And I think America prospers with better products. I also have a bias, which is that in addition to the fact that they've done nothing wrong, that Chow is a very dignified person and nobody in Washington in that hearing was polite or dignified at all. But in addition, I believe that the proper foreign policy for America is to make up with China. Stop waving guns and weapons and threats at China. This is basically a peaceful country. Russia is not a peaceful country. Russia loves war. The Chinese do not. The Chinese are commercial. That's what they think they're good at. They think they're better than we are. I'm not saying that you don't have to police them and be careful. I grant you that they are over the top on a lot of issues, but they have to be handled one at a time when they come up, whether it's balloons or semiconductors or whatever you want to talk about. But they want peace and we want peace. They're good at commercial things. We're good at commercial things. It's almost impossible to say today that Nixon got it right. But Nixon did get it right. He decided Khrushchev was the bad guy, and he wanted to make friends with China, the most populous country on the planet. And I think that's where we ought to be headed. And I think this is a witch hunt because everybody hates Washington now, and I think here's an issue where we can show that we're tough and show that we're patriotic, but I think they're dead wrong, and I think their poor manners reflected that.
Fascinating view, Billy. I deeply appreciate you sharing it with us, and you be well. Thank you so much. Let us continue here, and John is up next. Hello, John.
Hey, thank you, Paul. That was quite a call.
It was. Wasn't expecting it.
No, not at all. anyway, Paul, did you know... I just happened to be listening, watching TV before I hopped in the truck, And Marcus Spears has got him a new commercial on TV. Did you know that?
I did not. What is he? What is he doing?
Well, it don't show him, but there's no denying his voice. He is he's doing a thing on Louisiana Pride seafood. It's showing, you know, the seafood, their fish, their seasoning mix and all that. And I just wanted you to know that he done a great job. I just wish they would have shown.
Well,
his
I tell
face,
you what, if there's ever an ambassador for any food product, it would be Marcus Spears.
It would sure be Marcus Spears. I just want to put that in your ear. I really enjoyed it.
I'll check that out. Thank you very much. There's no greater ambassador for that state and for LSU than Marcus. Thank you very, very much. Let's check in with Steve on the Jersey Shore. Hello, Steve.
How are you, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Right quick, and I'm a little nervous, but there's just two issues I have. And one is a perfect one, is this girl from Iowa, Caitlin Clark,
yes.
Women's basketball.
She's pretty amazing.
She is an elegant lady of basketball, which she put on the other day.
Yeah, she has become one of the most talked about college athletes in the country, and she backed it up in the tournament.
Yes, sir. And can I say one more thing, sir?
Please.
The situation we were having here at the Jersey Shore is the whales are washing up on the beach. The dolphins are washing up on the beach. There's windmills. I don't know that. I'm not into that. But can someone find an issue? Is it sonar? I don't know.
Well, listen, I did not realize that the whales were I didn't even know anybody was at the shore yet. It's still winter up there. Hey, thanks for the call. Paul in White Plains, New York.
Hi, Paul. This is Paul Morris. I had to talk for SC men's basketball teams like Auburn, LSU, Vanderbilt, and Mississippi State. They're really good teams. I still want Auburn in the SEC because of next year with LSU in second place and Vanderbilt in third place and Mississippi State in fourth place. And the only thing I want the top four to get in the NCAA tournament was I've been in the Merritt Center in Louisiana last season when they beat Mississippi State in men's basketball in February 2022 with my brother Jesse. My brother Jesse and I do trips every year, once a year. And I'm a quadrupled. As many of you know, my brother and I are the two quadruplets, and the other two quadruplets are not part of the trip. And then also my friend is a Columbia women's basketball fan. I like two women's basketball teams, like UPenn and UConn women's basketball, very, 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 very well. And Paul, do you have any answers or suggestions?
Wow, that's an interesting story you told. Thank you very, very much for the call. Appreciate it. Tyrone is in Pittsburgh. Hello, Tyrone.
How's it going, Paul?
Hey there.
Me and you had a conversation, I think, back in probably around January. You know, we was talking about Alabama basketball team,
right.
and Nate Oates. And I basically said that they'll probably be a Sweet 16 team until Nate Oates start changing his scheme. I noticed in that game that Alabama was down probably by 9 or 10 points. Then they start pressing. Okay, they closed the game. They got within, I think, 2 or 3 points.
Yeah,
I believe 2 points.
I think it was a 1 or 2 possession game. Yeah, they had a chance.
But this is what Nate Oates, what he failed to realize. You're down by 2 points. Don't foul. You don't have to foul. You had like 45 seconds left in the game, you know. But he's going by numbers that say, well, in that situation, you foul. This is the difference between a good coach and a great coach. And that was my major point back then. You know, he's got to, during the off season or during those, when the season starts, you got till March to get it right, get your team you know, if they got to press, do it. And this was the ultimate team to do that with. You so deep, you know, you can press teams, and then what people don't realize, when you start pressing, late in the games, the other team, they lose their legs, you know. So, you know, shooting from outside, they lose that. But you still deep enough that once they do that, you can still put all those different guys in there and win the game. So that was my biggest concern is, you know, he's got to get it right. He got to stop relying so much on numbers. You got 10 players.
Yeah, I mean, he's a metrics guy, as you're right, Tyron. But when the one thing that you're basing it on completely goes blank, and that's when nobody can make a three-pointer.
Yeah.
You have to figure out a way to get out of that, and he couldn't. I agree with you. I mean, if nobody can criticize Nate Oates' coaching this year until the tournament, but he can't scrub away 3 years in a row losing to a lower seed. Ultimately, reputations start to stick in March. We're heading toward the break, and the final hour we'll head to Mississippi and get an update on the devastating storms that affected that state so tragically. We'll talk a little bit more about the unbelievable tragedy in Nashville today. It's been a rough couple of days for the news in this part of the country, and we will take a short break right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.